Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Molly and Haw.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you
next
very
question.
Much.
Dave Wannstedt.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Dave Wannstedt down in Miami, part of Fox Super Bowl coverage, and he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, Dave.
How we doing there? My big buzz in Miami. I think it's obviously you got two great teams to start off with, and that helps. And then I just think the atmosphere here in Miami. You know, it's all about the stars and the glitter and Hollywood a little bit, you know, has that effect. So you're going to get all the celebs out and people outside. I think there's just something to when the sun's shining and people can get outside and walk around. A Super Bowl doesn't get any better than that.
All right, so forget the football for a second, Dave. What's your social calendar look like and who are you looking forward to meeting?
Well, having dinner with Stallone tonight. No, I'm kidding. Are you kidding? Are you kidding me? No, we have we got a lot of media stuff going on. We're today here a little bit later this afternoon. We have our Fox National Media Day where all the reporters will come over that were over there with the teams. And we'll do some pictures and some sit-down interviews. And then we have later on in a week, we have the a media day with the Fox affiliates all around the country. So we'll be doing that. We got a couple little Fox social things here, big dinner thing coming up here this week. And then a couple of charity things. I'm going to go to St. Jude. Kelly's being honored at the Legends, the St. Jude banquet. So I'm going to go to that thing and see Jim and a bunch of those people. So, it's a full day. Then we'll have our regular meetings and our rehearsals and everything like that leading up to the Super Bowl. So it's a full week. Fun week, though.
Yeah, that's a great event, too, Dave, that you're going to. That's St. Jude says an unbelievable job, and that's always a fun one to attend if you can get in. And, of course, you can get into all of them. When you look at this matchup, it's kind of fun because obviously the great quarterback is going to dominate all the conversation, but the great pass rushers against the great quarterback, the team that likes to run and play defense against the team that likes to score points in bunches, it's kind of a really fun sort of opposites attract type deal.
Yeah, it is. I'll be curious to see, putting on my defensive hat and looking at both of these teams. If I'm game planning them, both teams, and I listen to Olin, he's got some great insight. I mean, he really does. And, both of these teams, do a lot of motions. They have the play action pass and the runs, everything that looks the same. When you're facing a team like this, I've always believed that the one thing you don't want to do is get out of position and make them earn it. In other words, don't give them a cheap play because we were trying to be too cute or we were doing too much. So I think, San Francisco's defense, I mean, as we talked about in previous shows, they don't blitz much. They're four down. So all this reverse stuff and this sweep stuff and the Mahomes quarterback read, all the stuff that Kansas City does on offense, I think it kind of fits in pretty nice to what San Francisco does on the other side on defense. You know, in other words, they can play their four down guys. They're going to get pass rush, but more as importantly, you know, stopping the screens and the reverses and all the gimmick stuff that Andy Reid likes to do. You know, is as long as they don't come in, as long as San Francisco doesn't come in and try to invent a new defense and they do what they do best, I kind of like their defensive matchup. I think on the other side, you know, Kansas City's defense, you know, they're a little bit more. They'll play some 4-3. They'll play 3-4 a lot. They'll pressure a lot more. They're the ones, I think, that are going to have to make some adjustments, because if they don't, Kyle Shanahan's going to find some ways to get those guys out of position, and I think that's potentially some big plays for San Francisco. So I'm going to watch and see how these defenses play these wide open gimmick type offenses, I'll call them, and I know how I would play them.
Well, keep that defensive hat on, Dave. I mean, you look at Tyreek Hill, and it's very difficult to defend speed. So, but there's got to be a plan. There's got to be an emphasis. How do you approach a guy like that? And is he priority one in stopping the Chiefs?
Yeah, he would be, but I think that, you know, with the pressure that they're going to put on Mahomes, Mahomes is going to be looking to, you know, the Kelce. I mean, Kelce, I would make a decision on what down and distances and where on the field is Kelce the favorite receiver? When is Tyreek Hill the favorite receiver? That sounds simple, but that's how I would look at it. And now I would say, okay, you know what, boy, on third down and 3, 4, 5, 6, it's Kelce. It's Kelce 2-1. We're going to double team him, and we're going to have to live with singling up Tyreek Hill. There may be situations where it's the opposite, where Hill's the big guy, and now I would change up the coverage. So, you know, you're running the same coverage. You're either doubling one guy or the other. Everybody else is constant. There shouldn't be any mental mistakes with anybody else. And because in games like this, the kicking game, obviously, and it's the team that makes the most mistakes. It usually isn't the team that makes the most great plays, but it's the team that makes the fewest amount of bad plays. And with all the reverses and the sweeps and everything we talk about, the motions, I mean, both of these teams are capable of giving you a bad play because you don't, as simple as it sounds, you don't get lined up correctly.
It's interesting, Dave. I was saying earlier, we were talking, and I was saying the problem I have is there's a part of me that really likes San Francisco and likes the defensive matchup. And the problem is that the Niners almost have to play a perfect game to win. Whereas, and I don't know if it holds up against San Francisco, but I have seen the Chiefs jump off sides 3 times, do dumb things and overcome it because they can score points in a second. They can make up for mistakes immediately. So I don't know if Kansas City has to play a perfect game.
Yeah, I think that I like San Francisco as a team, but I agree with what you're saying, Molly. I mean, if San Francisco falls behind by 10 points, 2 scores, and all of a sudden this game falls on Garoppolo to throw it, to beat you, I don't like that. I mean, I think if this thing goes into the fourth quarter, 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and it's a toss-up game, I think San Francisco wins. I really do, because I think now they've got the advantage of the run game, the play-action pass, holding on to the football, where I'm not sold on Kansas City wanting to do that or capable of doing that.
Dave, if you're a personnel guy and you're looking at these two rosters and just watching tape and objectively evaluating, how would you rank these groups in order? The Kansas City skill position players on offense, the 49ers pass rush, the front four, and the 49ers offensive line. Because I think one of those three is going to control this football game or dictate the course of this game. I think it depends on what you're watching or what your background is maybe and what you predict will happen.
Yeah, and everyone's going to talk about the defensive line. Mahomes, you're not going to sack him much, guys. You're going to make him throw the ball off. So I would, as great as that San Francisco defensive line is, it's going to come down to the guys on the back end. You know, I mean, the linebackers, the safeties, and the defensive backs tackling well, I think. And no one talks about the fundamentals, but I mean, Kansas City's one of the best teams in the league at yards after catch, you know, and San Francisco does a great job of that with Kittle and all those guys. So I think it's really not as much going to be the front guys. I think it's really going to come down to the back end guys, you know, the linebackers and the secondary matching up. And then when they get opportunities to make plays, they're going to have to do them. You know, and I know the conversation won't be that way. Everybody, you know, everyone wants to talk about the linemen in the pass rush, but I don't know. I mean, you're not going to sack Mahomes. I wouldn't come into the game saying, oh, we got to get three sacks. I would come into the game saying, we got to make him throw the ball on time. I mean, you know, let's not let him get out of the pocket and extend plays. That's when a 10-yard completion might turn into a 40-yard completion, or it might turn into a long scramble. So I would be conservative. I would really be conservative on my pass rush unless I was blitzing, and make sure that the theme with me would be to make sure he throws the ball on time.
All right, Dave, hold on. We're going to be right back. We'll talk about your pick for the game, and we'll get into
Question for you.
Yeah, we'll get into some of the other things that are floating around out there. He is Coach Dave Wannstedt, joins us every Tuesday, and we are delighted to have him back in just a minute. Mullion Hall on the Score.
Dave Wannstedt hanging out with Mullion Hall.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dave Wannstedt joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. And Coach, you talk about Andy Reid, and he's a sentimental favorite in this game because he's been at it a long time, 20 years as a head coach, and never won a Super Bowl. And there is this feeling, whether it be true or not, and you can tell us, that if he doesn't win a Super Bowl, not only will his career feel incomplete to him, but maybe he's not a Hall of Famer. How do you judge Andy Reid, Dave, in terms of his playoff record, and does he need this one?
Well, you know, I think it's more, and everybody, you know, yes, from the outside, everyone will talk about, you know, Super Bowls. You got to get to the Super Bowl. A lot of things are factors of it. I think it will bother Andy as much as anybody because he has been close. I mean, and he's been, I think it speaks for what type of person he is, the respect that he has within the NFL. I mean, generally, you don't survive 20 years in the National Football League or 21 years as a head coach unless you win a Super Bowl. I mean, it just, you know, the odds are against you. So I think there's something to be said for the respect that the people around the league that they have for Andy Reid. And, you know, he's done a great job, and some things have happened, obviously, at Philadelphia. He thought he was going to get one. I think he's always learning. I give him credit because, you know, the offense they're running now is completely different from what he did at Philadelphia. And he's been willing to kind of take this colleagues run pass option offense and move it a lot of things that they did or do it in college before the NFL. And now the NFL is doing it. And Andy's one of the guys that's out in front of this thing. And obviously when you have Patrick Mahomes, that gives you a chance to do it. But, you know, a lot of coaches would be hard-headed and said, you know, I don't care. I'm going to do what I do, and that's the end of it. Where he's made changes. He's adjusted. I think you got to give him credit for that. And hopefully this will be the one that he gets. It would be fantastic for him.
Dave, whether it's that kind of external pressure that we're talking about or the distractions from a coaching perspective and for players, what role does anxiety play in preparation and then on Sunday afternoon?
Boy, you know what? I think the Super Bowl, you know, having kind of gone through this myself and relating back to our players, I don't think it really caught up with anybody. We were the youngest team. When we went to that first Super Bowl we went to in Dallas, we were the youngest team in the NFL and won it, you know. So we didn't have a lot of veteran guys that have been sitting around talking about getting to the Super Bowl. You know, so maybe that, but when you look at Mahomes, I mean, you know, these guys are young guys too. I mean, they're not really an old veteran team. Bosa, a lot of the players that we're talking about, are the stars of these teams are, you know, first, second, third year guys. And it really didn't make an impact that this is the Super Bowl. For me, it was basically one kickoff, you know, after warmups and up in the press box and you're overlooking the stadium, and the Jets go over, and all that. That's when it kind of really brings everything in tight and says, oh my God, you know, this, we're only may never get another chance at this. We've got to find a way to win this game and get this done. You know, I remember Troy Aikman, I think he made the comment when he was standing in a tunnel before he went out, and he's looking out, and, you know, the crowd and the noise and the hype and everything that's going on. And he says, holy, you know, this, we're actually playing in the Super Bowl. So I think that it's not an anxiety thing that you're living with all week, because there's so much activity and there's so much newness and there's a lot of fun things going on in addition to your preparation that kind of keeps the edge off. I would put it that way. But, you know, one point before you go on, you know, Olin mentioned Andy Heck.
Yep.
You know, Andy Heck, he was and Molly, you'll remember this. Sure. He was the first big free agent that I signed when I became the Bears coach. And we brought him here. And I knew Andy from playing, how about this for a connection, where the convicts versus the Catholics.
Yes.
When I was at Miami, and I was the defense coordinator, assistant head coach at Miami, and we were playing Notre Dame. Andy was the captain. He was an offensive lineman on that Notre Dame team. So there, you know, the connection went back to the college days, and as far as what type of player he was and what he would bring to our team on and off the field. And so I'm happy for Andy too. And I just wanted to mention that because Olin brought it up. I actually halfway forgot about that he's coaching in this game.
You know, it's interesting when you look at San Francisco. You know, we've talked about Andy Reid, but Kyle Shanahan. So they had Jim Harbaugh, right? And Harbaugh leaves in 2014, and that's kind of a mess when he leaves. They have Jim Tomsulo for a year. They have Chip Kelly for a year. And then they go out and they give Shanahan a six-year deal and a six-year deal for John Lynch. And, you know, people talk about how the Niners were in danger of turning into Cleveland, firing a coach every year. So now they get somebody, they give them the time by giving them a 6-year deal. How much of that trend could take over the league? You look at what's going on in Carolina. Is it a big thing to get that contract with the years behind you?
Oh, sure. I mean, from a, now, you know, it's a 6-year contract, but at least if you get a 3-year contract, the truth is, and you guys heard me talk about this, every coach, every job has a window, in my opinion, this is my opinion, that you have to hit it big or it's not going to work. And, you know, if you sign a 3-year contract, the reality is the window is probably a 2-year window, you know, when that owner expects you to get us to the big dance. If you sign a 6-year contract, you know, it's not guaranteeing 6 years, but at least I think the fans, the media, the coaches, the staff, the players, everybody is looking at that and saying, "Now we probably got a 4-year window where we've got to get there." So I do think that the longer contract, for sure, it takes the stress level off, you know, having to win that first or second year. And that's a great situation. I mean, you know, you got to give the owner, York's and family, you know, the ownership for San Francisco. I mean, to do a complete change from 1-year coaches and getting rid of everybody to 6-year manager and coach. I mean, that's drastic change. And so far it's worked. And, you know, you mentioned Kyle Shanahan, and I've got to say this on the air because I, you know, we worked that. The last Super Bowl that Fox had was the Atlanta, New England game in Houston. And I was there working that game. And when he dropped back to throw the ball at the end of the game, I mean, and then they fired the defensive coordinator the next week and he leaves and goes to San Francisco. I really, that bothered me for months. I mean, it really did from a coach's perspective. How you lose a Super Bowl by doing something as stupid as that, really, you know?
Right.
And this week, I'll tell you what, you know, Kyle Shanahan, I've heard him talk about what a mistake he made probably a half a dozen times this week on all different media outlets. And I respect the guy. I mean, the guy tells me that he's learned. You know, he's a young guy, young play caller, and as time has gone on, he's learned, you know, lessons along the way. And I'm a fan of the guys now. I'm a big fan of Kyle Shanahan and what he's doing and how he's doing it. I think that you can see the guy, how he's matured.
Quick Bears question, Dave. Eric Berry, 31-year-old safety with the injury history, overcame a lot, but still a guy who sat out last season, said this week that he wants to play again in 2020. If you're the Bears, are you interested?
I would not be. I mean, we put all of our money in Eddie Jackson. You know, it's safety. You know, I say that from a talent standpoint. Obviously, he's a great player, possible Hall of Famer. But the injury thing and how much money, that would be the determining factor. And if the injury thing is something that there's a little bit of concern medically, I would pass on that. And if he wanted a big contract, I mean, the Bears only have so much money to spend. And when you spend it on one player at the same position, it's tough to go, in my opinion, to go overboard on another guy.
All right, Dave, the Chiefs are favored by 1.5. Who do you like in the game?
You know what? I'm kind of a San Francisco fan because of the style that Kyle Shanahan's doing, the running the ball and the defense. I'm a fan of theirs. But I think that Patrick Mahomes, he's the best player on the field. He's going to touch the ball more than anybody else, being the quarterback. And as we all said, and, you know, Jimmy Johnson said it way back when we talked about drafting players, he says, let's get those players that do things that you don't have to coach. And if there's one player that does things that you don't have to coach, it's Patrick Mahomes. So I would agree. I would probably bet. If I was betting, I would go with Kansas City.
Great stuff, Dave. Thanks a ton. Really appreciate it.
Have fun.
Okay, guys. Talk to you then. Thank you.
That is Dave Wannstedt.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.